Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who with the Holy Spirit are three in one. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be here. We're so blessed that you are here with us. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your guidance. And we ask, Lord, your Holy Spirit to be with us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today I want to look at the first two questions of the Bible. And when we find the answers to these two questions, well, then we're going to find the answers to most of the questions that we have in life. Questions are a very important way of learning, but they can be good or bad. An older lady gets pulled over for speeding. Is there a problem, officer? Ma'am, you were speeding. Oh, I see. Can I see your license, please? Well, I'd give it to you, but I don't have one. You don't have one? Lost it 4 years ago for drunk driving. I see. Can you give me your vehicle registration papers, please? Oh, I can't do that. Why not? Well, I stole this car. Stole it? Yes, and I killed the owner. You what? His body's in a plastic bag in the trunk, if you want to see. The officer looks at the woman and slowly backs away from her car and calls for backup. Within minutes, five police circle the lady's car. A senior officer slowly approaches the car, clasping his half-drawn gun. Ma'am, could you step out of the vehicle, please? The woman steps out of the vehicle. Is there a problem, sir? One of my officers told me that you have stolen this car and you have murdered the owner. Murder the owner? Yes. Could you please open the trunk? The woman opens the trunk, revealing nothing but an empty trunk. Is this your car, ma'am? Well, yes. Here's my registration papers. The officer is stunned. One of my officers claims that you don't have a driver's license. The woman digs into her handbag and pulls out a license and hands it to the officer. The officer examines the license and he looks quite puzzled. Well, thank you, ma'am. One of my officers told me that you didn't have a license, that you stole this car, and that you murdered the owner. I bet you that liar told you I was speeding, too. Questions can be a way to deceive. The first question of the Bible was this kind of deception, this kind of trickery. Now, once we understand the author of this first question, we understand the deceitfulness behind it. As Christians, we've come to learn that the devil is the source of all lies, even the little white lies that we tell others and ourselves. He is the master of deception, and he comes at you all sly and smooth. He tricks you into believing his lies, and he even seems like your closest companion while he's doing it. He tells you that it's for your own good. He tells the addict that they'll be able to quit, but to have one more hit before they give up on everything. Because he knows that that hit will lead to another, which will lead to another. He'll tell the husband that he'll be able to get away with his affair, even telling him it'll probably be good for his marriage if he does it. He'll tell the child to go ahead and take that candy bar. Surely the store won't miss just one. In the garden, he approaches Eve in deception, getting her to believe his lies by coming to her calmly and with dishonest concern. He didn't attack Eve because Adam was there to defend her. He's a coward. He never plays by the rules. His only interest is in destroying what God has created, and he'll do whatever it takes, no matter how dishonest he needs to be, so that he achieves it. With Eve, he simply asked the question, did God really say? He creates confusion in her, and this leads to the downfall of all mankind. He still does it today. Did God really say he'd forgive you every time you ask? Did God really say that He'll never leave you or forsake you or fill you with the Holy Spirit or bless you even when you don't deserve it? Did God really say that He loves you no matter what and that He'll supply all your needs and He takes pleasure in you? He knows that God has promised all these things. But He whispers in our ears and the deception begins. He'll put questions in your mind as to what God says in His Word, helping you to come to conclusions you know aren't true so that your sin might not be sin anymore. He'll help you to convince yourself to believe that God really isn't saying that abortion is sin despite all the evidence against it in His Word. He'll try to convince you that God's Word doesn't really say that we have to serve others before we serve ourselves. He'll mix you up and confuse you and open you up to all kinds of deception. And it doesn't matter who you are or how much you're hurting. He doesn't care about what you need or what might be helpful for you. His only will is to destroy you because you are made in the image of God. He knows that if He can get us to question God's holy word, then He will destroy us. He'll destroy everything that we hold dear. If He can get us to doubt what God has said or to question ourselves what God really meant, then most of His work is done because He's gotten us to trust in the deception more than the truth. And that's why it's so vital, so critical for us to believe in the whole Word of God and to cling to that truth no matter the questions the devil places in our mind. We need to put our trust in it, to preach it, to teach it, to devour it, so that we might be this, like the psalmist when he said, "Your commandments are my delight, your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding so that I may live." So I want to ask you all today, did God really say that He is the only God, that there is none besides Him? Did God really say that we are to bring Him our first fruits in worship and honor? Did God really say that Jesus was the only way to heaven? Did God really say that Jesus rose from the dead and that because of Him all our sins are washed away? All of them? Did God really say that the wages of sin is death, both physical and spiritual? Did God really say that if a man dies in his sin, that he will be eternally separated from Him? These are all questions that we have let get the best of us at times. The devil works on us to lead us away from the truth, especially the truth that might be harder for us to imagine. So, where are you? This is the second question of Scripture. In verse 9, God is walking in the garden and He asks Adam, "Where are you?" Now, He didn't ask Adam this question because He didn't know. He didn't need further evidence to find Adam. When God asks a question in Scripture, He does so to come to the truth. He wants to hear your answer. More importantly, He wants you to hear your answer. We see this in Isaiah 6. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" Now here we see Isaiah standing in the very throne room of God, our almighty, our awesome God, where no other human has ever stepped foot in. And God asks Isaiah a question. Whom shall I send? Do you think he asked it because he didn't know? No, he asked it so that Isaiah could answer the question to get to the truth. Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." He knew that Isaiah had to make that commitment himself. Isaiah had to hear the words that were coming out of his mouth. "Here I am, send me." God asked Adam, "Where are you?" But instead of telling him the truth, he complains. He doesn't ask for forgiveness. He just gives excuses. It's the woman's fault. Man, I wish this wouldn't hit so close to my heart. How many times have I made excuses for my failure instead of trusting in God's forgiveness? How many times have I hid when he asked me to make an account of myself? How many times has this happened to you? The question is not, have I sinned? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The question is, where are you? Where are you when I need you to testify in my name? Where are you when I need you to take care of your brothers and sisters? Where are you on Sunday when your brothers and sisters are worshiping without you? Where are you when I need you to defend your faith? Where are you when I ask you to trust in me? A very accomplished lawyer finds himself on his deathbed when the pastor comes in for a visit. And much to the pastor's delight, the lawyer is reading his Bible. The pastor mentions to him how great it is to see him so urgent in his faith. And the lawyer says, "Actually, I'm just looking for loopholes." We must understand that there are no loopholes when it comes to salvation, but there are some questions we must answer. Our first question, did God really say? How much trust do you put in the Word of God? Do you bend the words to make them fit your lifestyle? Or do you take them for what they are, the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God. How much do you mold your life around His Word? Are you using it as your only model, or do you just take out the parts that fit your lifestyle? There are new loopholes. God expects you to act like a Christian if you go to the trouble of calling yourself one. And that means 100%. There's no 80-20 split. Our second question, where are you? Where are you when God needs you? Are you hiding, thinking He doesn't know where you are? Are you wearing disguises when you're called to stand up for what you believe? Do you hide behind your insecurities when you're attacked in the name of Jesus? Do you come to God for forgiveness, or do you hide behind your excuses? Where are you when you should be praising His name? There would be no sin in the world if Adam and Eve had just trusted in God's word. There would have been no reason to hide if they would simply have been honest. Satan waited for them to slip up, and he waits for you. In fact, some of you right now are probably listening to him because of some challenge I have made for you. Adam and Eve admired the fruit despite the command for us not to eat it. They were swayed by the sly and slithery devil. The best way is not to sin is to avoid it. And all of the devil's requests to pull you off the narrow path to heaven and onto the wide path that leads only to your destruction. Know what God is saying to you and trust that He has given you His word in all its truth, because He loves you enough to want to save you from the devil and all his attempts to deceive you. Eve was in a debate with the devil about what was good and what wasn't. Don't fall into that same trap, because Satan knows Scripture much better than you do. Don't let him twist it, the truth of it, to fit your sin. Know the word in truth, not your truth, but God's truth. And finally, don't hide your sin from God. One of the greatest gifts that He's given us is the great gift of forgiveness. He already knows your sin, but He needs you to know it. Trust in Him to lead you in love. 1 John 1:9 says, "If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." Trust in His word. God knows where you are, and He knows your weakness, but He wants you to see where you are. He wants you to hear yourself say, "Lord, I believe You and I trust in You. I surrender all I am to You. In the name of Jesus Christ, please guide me to the truth and keep me from hiding from You." And He wants you to believe it. There's no excuses for failure when it comes to your salvation. God has given you all you need. Trust in Him to answer your questions in life. And don't let the great deceiver, the devil, lead you astray. Because God has a plan for your life. Trust in Him to take you there. Amen.